Hello, hello, everyone. Welcome to another episode of Beneath Vancouver Radio. This is episode number 43. We are going hard on these episodes these last couple of weeks. If you're tuning in here on season two, this is going to be the beginning of a wonderful season of 2021. For this particular year, we're actually aiming for an episode a week. So if you're tuning in and we're continuing that progress, I really do appreciate it. And a big shout out to all the listeners so far. The month of January has been absolutely crazy. We've been hitting numbers that, you know, what I usually hit in a year, I'd be hitting in a month. So you guys have been absolutely crushing it. So thank you all for tuning in, both listeners who are just listening for the first time or people who've been following me since the very beginning. But thank you again. And in episode number 43, I have special guest here, Isabel. Isabel, how are you doing today?
Aaron, I'm doing so good. How are you?
I'm doing well, thank you. And if you are a fan of the show, you recognize her voice and probably recognize her name as well, and probably have seen her on Instagram, you know, as well. If you're in the Vancouver area, if you're into fashion or anything kind of social media related, you might have seen her around. But this is actually Isabel's second time on the podcast here, and we chatted in October of 2019, so a little bit over a year and a bit ago. And obviously, a lot has changed. The world that we live in is unfortunately a lot different than it was when we first chatted, and also a lot of things have changed with your life as well. So I want to kind of, again, for the listeners, because we've gained some new listeners ever since then, why don't you let them know kind of who are you today?
Sure, of course. Hi, everyone. I'm Isabel. I am a communications and FCAT graduate from SFU this June. Blessed. And I'm currently, I'm currently a full-time business owner. I run my own social media agency as well as a fashion blogger and future investor, which is super interesting and
yes,
super exciting. So that is where I'm at right now.
Definitely. I love hearing that. And again, congratulations on the recent grad, obviously the class of 2020, aka the class of COVID, but hopefully we all can celebrate soon and celebrate kind of the achievements that we've all done within these last couple of years, right? University is, I think we talked about it in the first episode, but university is no joke. It's not an easy ride. So
it's a mental game for sure. I mean, we both graduated this summer, which is nuts. So yeah, we definitely have to celebrate. There's no doubt.
Exactly. Soon, hopefully soon. But I wanted to chat about, I think in the kind of looking back, and I did take back a listen to our first episode that we did, and we definitely kind of set the foundation of kind of who you are and what you were doing. And at the time, obviously, you were still finishing up your studies. But I kind of wanted to focus on the transition that you kind of had, obviously, in graduating in a COVID kind of world. How has that been for you? And kind of where were you as a graduate right now? Or where were you back then, I should say, sorry. And what were your kind of next steps once you finally kind of wrapped up your degree?
Yeah. So essentially what ended up happening in June was I was offered a full-time digital marketing corporate position here. And, you know, honestly, Aaron, you know me, like I was, you know, you're kind of against the man, you know what I'm saying? Like the whole corporate culture, like, nah, bro. And I've always known that was not for me. But you know what? It was definitely the climate. And I just finished reading Rich Dad Poor Dad, which we kind of talked about at the beginning. Mm-hmm. But there is this quote from that book that really struck with me. And it was called Work to Learn and Not Work to Earn. So definitely put your self-development and growth first when it comes to your career experiences. And so I was like, you know what? This is totally out of my comfort zone. Let me just take it and see what happens. Like, I'm super blessed to be offered this 9-to-5 job just because of the climate we're in.
Right.
So took it, and in my first 5 days, I was like, oh, honey, this is a mistake. Oh, baby, no, what did I just do? You know? And I'm actually so, so grateful that I took it, because it taught me so much about discipline and just taking my time for granted. And essentially, like, what ended up happening was, because everyone was staring at their desks and screens all day, every single day, I blaze through an audiobook just because it was 8-hour shifts and, you know, audiobooks around 8 hours long. So that entire experience really, really, I just grew a lot. I grew a lot. I really indulged in marketing, business, and time and finance books. And I essentially saved every single penny and put into the stock market. And so all that money that happened, all that money that I earned through that corporate job exponentially grew because at the time the stock market was, it was very low. And yeah. Essentially, I was just like, okay, you know what? I'm just going to make the most out of it here. And it got to the point where through the books that I was learning, I would go home right away. And I essentially just utilized them, to be honest, especially 4-Hour Work Week by Tim Ferriss, like the one that you were talking about earlier. Mm-hmm. That book actually really, really just showed me what you can do with systems, with automations and meetings. Because I realized in a corporate job that you talk a lot and there's not a lot of things that get done, and that really bothered me. And so whenever I got home at night, I would literally work some more, work on my business. And then in September, I essentially made over $16,000 through my business alone. That was the first month I've made that amount of money. It was my very first five-figure month. And essentially, that really all, I honestly believe that it wouldn't have happened if I didn't take that job, because it really pressured me to significantly make more through my business and get myself out of there, because I really didn't like it. Like, I woke up and I was like, yo, this sucks. Like, yeah. I just know this isn't for me, but it was such a blessing in disguise, because I have so much respect for people that do that every day.
Yeah, definitely.
So that was in September, a couple of like around 3 months after graduation. And mm-hmm. I was like, okay, I essentially made way more than I did ever working here. So I'm actually just going to go for it. I'm going to take the risk and I'm just going to focus on building my business full time. So in October, November, that's essentially what I did. So every single penny I literally invested, I did not spend money at all until it was Christmas and I had to give gifts to everyone. Yeah.
What's it called? Cheat yourself a little bit, family members, loved ones for sure.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Splurge.
Exactly. And it was crazy because during the time I got really into spirituality and I read this book called Super Attractor by Gabrielle Bernstein that really taught me about mindfulness and presence and being able to attract the things that you want just by being yourself authentically and just being able to wake up and feel grateful every single day. And that was really interesting to me. Because it really taught me how to relax, to be honest, because I just felt like after grad, like my mind was just racing and it never really stopped. But so it was fascinating because, I honestly don't think that if I didn't have that corporate job, I would have come across such a variety of books. I was literally blazing through them every single day. So then it became super spiritual. And I really, really learned how to sit back, relax, and stop putting so much energy into things that weren't meant for me. Like I learned that a lot of things that are supposed to be yours come easy and it shouldn't be hard. And I think that's a really huge mind shift that I had, honestly, because before I would be out here, I would be looking for clients left and right, honey. You know, like I would be on Facebook out here cold calling, cold emailing, like it was crazy. But I've never actually just, you know, just sat back and just had faith that it would present itself to me. And it did. And the moment that it did, that's when all of this started happening. So that was definitely something that happened after grad too. And then kind of fast forward to December, it was just a huge transition of literally just learning through different clients, learning, working from home, honestly, like, and just keeping it, just doing the same thing up until now. And still to this day, like, I have really, really fallen in love with just the process of investing and like understanding the stock market. I think this is really, truly the year that I really got involved with that, because I didn't really take it seriously until last December. But especially when the market crashed, that's when I went all in, bro. I went all in. Like it was last December, crazy.
Is in 2019 or 2020?
Yeah, 2019. But then the stock market crashed in March. Yeah, this March. So I was like, bro, I'm going to put all my CERB money in.
No, that's smart. No, I'll just kind of quickly chime in here, though. Like that is such a smart thing to do, though, because, you know, at the end of the day, people's money is people's money, right? I'm not here to tell you. I'm not a financial advisor. I'm not, one to tell you how to spend your money or how to use it. But it's just like the way that I see it is people obviously want to see their money grow, right? And people usually want to see, you know, some sort of return on an investment, right? But when people have like the opportunity and think, they don't think, I feel like a lot of people our age, like the millennial, the Gen Z generation, they want that instant gratification, right? And sometimes that instant gratification isn't even for themselves, but it's to kind of almost show off to other people that they have X product or X thing, right? So people would spend, like, for example, let's say you get $500, $1,000 from the CRB or whatever case may be, and people like blow it on the most ridiculous things, and then they'll say a month later, oh, I wish I had more money. I'm like, well, if you wanted to learn about that kind of money, like the resources were there. And that's like, I think what really sets people away from the ability to think more long term. And I'm not saying that you have to live like frugal the entire way of your life. Obviously you want to be able to enjoy life and enjoy your fruits of your labor, but it's seeing the opportunity when it's there. And, you know, I'm obviously hindsight 2020, but I definitely was not at all interested, even knowledgeable to an extent. I knew what a stock was, and that's probably as far as I knew in terms of the stock market. And I knew Tesla was a hot thing even back in March.
Oh,
and
for sure.
My friends were telling me, oh, you bought in Tesla. And at the time, I think it was like $200-ish a share. And obviously now it's at like 800 plus.
Yeah, so crazy.
Long story short, and what I'm trying to get across is that there's always the opportunity, but sometimes it's just not always there. But that's when it requires you to do a little bit more digging and a little bit more research. And obviously in your case is when you got a little bit more knowledgeable about the stock market and really wanted to see your money work for you. So 100%. I just wanted to chime in there.
Yes, thank you. No, I completely agree. I think that honestly, after reading Rich Dad Poor Dad, just even a couple of months ago in February, like that really changed my mind about where I put my money, honestly. And essentially what you want to do is you want to build assets while you're young, like as young as you can, because of just the compounding interest. So I was like, wow, you know what? What is the most accessible to me right now? And at the time, it was definitely the stock market crash. And, you know, I wasn't making like crazy money or anything back then, of course. Like I was still a full-time
Wall Street,
you know? Yeah, facts. Like not out here balling, you know what I'm saying? But I just wanted to see what was possible then. And it was honestly just about experimenting and just doing a lot of research. But there are actually so many things I don't know still, but I'm really, really excited about it. And it's crazy because like it's like my enthusiasm.
I can feel it from here.
I've like gotten to the point where I'm actually controlling all my parents' investments now because they see like what's possible. And for them, like they've never grown up knowing all of that. You know, like my parents aren't crazy, like rich, you know what I mean? Like they've never really been taught about like RRSPs and TFSAs and like all these different financial terms until they were really, really late into their adulthood. And it's really cool, like being able to kind of teach them about all these things that they didn't really grow up on, you know?
Exactly.
And it kind of makes you feel like an adult, like you're like a full adult. Okay, I can help you guys now, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, and I think
that's crazy though.
It is. It really is. And I think even after kind of not even when it comes to just the finance world or financial literacy, but I think it really lets people know the importance of continuous learning And yes. I think we even discussed about it. I'm sure we've talked about it, whether it was on the podcast or even, you know, off the podcast at events when those were a thing. Just the ability to continue your development, right? And continue your learning. And I think it's, again, super important even after, you know, you kind of go through that phase of obviously you're in school and you're learning in a more traditional institutional setting. But continuing that learning outside the classroom, I think, is what really helps people develop even more, I think I would argue. And personally as well, I've learned a lot of important skills, a lot of important life skills that weren't taught in the classroom. And sometimes people go through their entire, you know, young adult life or even into their adults, into their 30s and 40s, 50s, etc., without experiencing these things because they thought that learning was just that it stopped pretty much in the classroom. So I totally agree with that. And that comes in the form of books, that comes in the form of podcasts, audiobooks, courses. Like, there is so many resources out there that you can learn from and develop your knowledge. And, you know, I think when people think knowledge, they think of Ty Lopez and that ad of when he's in his garage in the Lamborghini, but
icon.
That, for sure. What I mean, knowledge is like knowledge that will help you develop your life skills and really set you up for success in the long term.
I agree, Aaron. I think that when you're young, you should take the most biggest ridiculous risks that you can, especially while you don't have all these financial commitments and expenses and all these commitments to people and yourself. Like, this is the time. You know, I think that when you really do choose you and put you above others, it doesn't have to be perfect, but just getting started, kind of like we mentioned, it's really a snowball effect. Like, it's very, very hard at the beginning, you know. Like, I've been running continuous social media agencies for past 3 years, and it's never really picked up like this ever until now. It didn't just happen overnight. Like, someone really had to kick my ass to do it, you know? And like, all those things, that all comes down to experience and the risks that you take. And I think that while you're in school, you should totally do it. That's the best time to do it. Like, you know, you don't have to wait till you graduate to try and start. Like, you just have to just start. It doesn't have to be perfect. You can always fix it later, you know?
Yeah. And it's definitely, as you mentioned, not an overnight success. And I think that's what gets a lot of people sometimes confused, because they'll see the results, right, of people's labor. But they don't see the back end of that. They don't see the 3, 4, 5, you know, years or however long that it took for X person to get there, right? And they'll think of that, and then they'll do it themselves, or they'll feel inspired or motivated. And they're like, okay, that's cool. Like, I'm going to finally start my own agency or my own business, whatever the case may be. And then when they don't see the similar results that the other person's getting within, you know, a month or 2 months, sometimes they get really, you know, demotivated or unmotivated, I should say. And they're just like, why isn't this working? Why isn't this working? Like, something's wrong, right? And again, I think it boils down to the instant gratification that I feel a lot of people need. And they don't think sometimes in the long term of like, you're it's that saying, and I see it all the time, but it's so true and it's so simple. It's like, when you plant a tree, you put the seed down and you water it, and you don't, you know, go check it within the next like day or two, right? You got to wait. You got to wait for it to grow. You got to wait for it to develop. And, you know, you'll see maybe a little bit within a month. You'll see a little bit within a year, 2 years. You know, I'm no tree expert, but however long it takes for a tree to fully develop, that's how long it takes for your business to develop or your, you know, whatever case you're doing. So I think it's super important to people to, you know, get the job done, you know, put the work in, you know, and just wait for your, again, the fruits of your labor to kind of produce itself. And, you know, the time will come, and sometimes there'll be like a little bit of a exponential growth for certain moments in that period of time. But it's continuing to develop that I think is super important. And sometimes people miss that mark.
That's actually such a great metaphor. I love what you said about planting a tree. That's amazing.
I stole that from someone. That's definitely not that's definitely not mine. I forgot where I honestly, I think I read it or learned about it, and I was taking this course in December 2020, this past month, because I was interested as well in learning more about the stock market. And a good friend of mine, shout out to Brandon Beavis, he's been in the investing background for ages now, and he runs like a little community, like a little investment community here in Vancouver and beyond, right? So I reached out to him for some advice, and he has like a little free course for people, and he was able to kind of teach the foundations. And he had mentioned, like, pretty much in module one, section one, do not expect to be rich overnight, right? That's not how this works. It's, and then I think that's where I saw the plant the seed metaphor. But I think it goes just beyond not just the stock market, but for pretty much anything that you're pursuing in life, really.
Yeah, 100%, especially in this climate. It's like, okay, well, what opportunities can we see now? Like, what opportunities are there that we can, you know, take advantage of now? Like, with every experience, there is an opportunity. You just kind of have to see the light within it. And you know, university grad, it was pretty underwhelming, but there's always some kind of positive light to it. And it was really cool because we were talking about just slowing down and just the beauty of honestly relaxing and taking your time and like waking up and it isn't exam season anymore.
Yeah. Like,
that feeling is...
Definitely don't miss that.
Yes, exactly. Like we never ever have to go through that ever again. And it's like, it just makes you so... so grateful. And just about the little things even, because I remember when I finished my very final exam essentially, and I cried, man. Like I cried. I freaking cried. And a lot of that was because there were so many times that I asked myself honestly, like, dude, do I want to drop out of school? Because this is actually really hard. Like, I don't know if it's for me. And there were literally so many times I told my parents, I was like, bro, I'm going to drop out. Like, y'all later, you know? Like,
I'm out. Calling it.
But honestly, when I finished my final exam, it was really, really emotional because I was like, you know what? All of that stress and anxiety, that was so worth it, because I would not have become who I am in order to get to where I want to be. And if anything, university really forced me to be the person that I needed to be to get to where I want to be. And I think a lot of our goals kind of happen, and they happen for us when we are ready to become that person to step into those goals. And
I agree.
There's no way I would have been like this person without school, to be honest. And I only see that now, like looking back, but when I was going through it, it was like, nah, bro, like, why am I doing this? Like, why am I putting myself through so much stress? But
for sure,
about, like, reflecting and just looking back and then being so grateful, you know?
Yeah, if there's one thing that I'll say that university kind of, I think the number one thing that I take out of, obviously, besides the obvious completing the degree and actually getting that, you know, certification, so to speak, but is the experiences and the people that I met. I think for me, that's what really solidified my university experience.
Yeah.
And if I hadn't stepped out of my comfort zone and joined kind of different clubs, meet different people, you know, go up to that person in class or in lecture and be like, oh, hey, my name's Aaron. Like, do you want to be partners for this project or, you know, whatever.
Totally.
I definitely would not have been, I don't think I would be speaking, for sure would not be speaking with not just you, but having a podcast in general.
Exactly.
So many different aspects of, you know, those 5 years that I was in university, again, similar as you, you're kind of like questioning yourself and you're like, is this really worth it? Like, what am I doing? Mm-hmm. Why am I here? All these pieces of self-doubt, when in the end, I think for me, again, everyone's experience is a little bit different. But for me, the things that resonated with me the most are those memories of I met this person, I met that person. I was able to experience that because of that person. And just being able to, again, this is kind of more on the technical side, but expand my network as well. And I know so many amazing people doing so many amazing things just through university, right? And you know, some people, they go through it with, you know, keep their head down, study hard, get good grades, you know, and again, to each their own. But for me, that's what I really take away from the most out of my university degree is the people and the experiences, because there really is nothing like it, right? And I think, you know, you could go back to school, but, you know, you're only 19, 18, 19, 20, 21 once in your life, right? And experiencing those kind of those times in your life in university with certain people, with your friends, and just being able to go through that is such a cherishable moment that I know that I'll always kind of have for the rest of my life. And, you know, once you graduate, it's kind of a way to reflect and think of like all the things that have shaped you again to be the person that you are. So, you know,
So
hated
true.
The exams, hated the papers, but yep, at the end yep. of it, I'm
don't
super
make that.
Beyond grateful to have experienced that and something that, I'm super, super lucky to have been able to do.
I completely agree. I think that was the one thing that I missed, to be honest, that mm-hmm. like that whole getting up and just being excited to just, and you know how UBC is like you walk around, like there's, you're really present, like you're really moving. Like it's the same with SFU. It's like we have three campuses. So it's like when you meet up with people, you're constantly moving and you're constantly moving around and just making plans uh-huh. all the time. And you know what? That like chaotic energy of just like studying together it's different. And I miss that sometimes. Like I really miss just going to school to see your friends and just the little things, honestly.
Yeah.
Just the little things. And
I just miss seeing my friends in general right now, not even in school.
Don't even get me started.
Man. Exactly. Let's switch gears a little bit here, though, because I do want to kind of pick your brain a little bit about your recent kind of, I would consider it kind of big growth with your social media marketing agency here. And obviously, as you mentioned, doing that now full time. What was kind of that mindset, or not maybe mindset, but I guess obviously a very big decision of you looking at, you know, more or less kind of thinking, okay, this happened, you know, I made X amount of money in a month. That's more than, you know, I did what I'll do in the next couple of months for my job. What was kind of like the thought process behind saying to yourself, you know, Isabel, I'm going to take a step back and I'm going to just go for it. What was that kind of like? Obviously probably scary, but I want to maybe hear your thoughts a little bit more.
Super scary. It was super scary. I actually had to read another book about just like fear and overcoming fear, and it's called You Are the Guru by Gabrielle Bernstein. And essentially,
You Are the Groove.
You Are the Guru, like G-U-R-U.
Oh,
yes. Yeah, so You Are the Guru. And essentially, the whole book talks about trusting your intuition, because when you say no to something, you say yes to another thing. And that a lot of that comes down to boundaries within yourself, and like thinking if you're deserving of it or not, you know, like what will happen in 5 years if I stayed on this path? And then you write that down. So for example, if I stayed on that corporate path in 5 years, I would wake up and not be happy. Honestly, I would miss,
of course,
I would miss like having control of my time. I would miss having control of my earning potential, because your earning potential is so capped because your time is so strict with where you put your energy. And I was like, do I want to risk comfort? Like, is comfort so meaningful to me that I just lose my sense of purpose and alignment because of money, because of consistent money? Like, that's just not worth it to me. And I think that a lot of it had to go hand in hand with the control and the idea of money and the attachment to money for me. Because when I worked at a corporate job, like that was the very first time I was making consistent amount of money like that ever, right? Because of course, like you're in school, you can't work that much. But being able to have that like consistent like $3,000 come in every month, like I was like, hey, like this is like the most I've ever seen in my entire life consistently. Like, this is really good, you know? And at the time I was like, but wait, like if I quit, will I ever see $3,000 come in my bank account every month?
Mm-hmm.
And you know what? Like, a lot of the mindset of that was being able to detach yourself from money, because when you do something just for money, you'll always regret some kind of you kind of lose your soul in it, to be honest. And I think that I've seen that happen way too much around for people to really kind of settle down super young and even end up growing old in positions that they hate, because it's the attachment to money, unfortunately. And you know what? I don't blame them. Like, a lot of that comes with high expenses, right? And I think that,
especially in Vancouver,
100%. Like, I totally don't blame them. Like, it's hard to to kind of just take the risk and say, hey, do I choose something that is truly aligned to my calling and is my purpose and something I'm not really making money right now, but like really feel fulfilled in my life? Or do I choose being comfortable and having a consistent income? And I think that's like a real hard, valid choice for a lot of people, you know? Mm-hmm. And like in my case, just because I did come out of uni and everything, other than student loans, I don't really have that many high expenses, and I like it right. that way, right? And so I was like, you know what? If anything happens, you can always find a corporate job. Like that's the worst that can happen. Like, and that's not a big deal, to be honest. Like that's the mm-hmm. whole point of having a degree.
Yeah, that's the whole point of yeah.
yeah, it's like to have a job, right? Right. Like, so after making that first like $16,000, like through the business and everything, that was kind of the wake up call of like, hey, you know what? This, you can do it once, you can do it multiple times. It can be reciprocated, and you know how to do it now, you know? And I think mm-hmm. that that kind of money, like that big amount of money that for the first time they've ever made, the only reason that I made that much money is because I was honestly being so, so authentic with who I wanted to serve, what I wanted to do, who I wanted to be, and the value, and making sure that the values that I had really aligned with the people that I work with. And I really, really believe that that's why I made so much money in September. It was because I really bootstrapped like my whole process of building these authentic relationships being me. And I think that I never did that before, to be honest, because I kind of mentioned like the whole cold emailing, cold calling thing.
Yeah.
yeah, don't do that. it's really interesting because when I got into spirituality, it talks about like energy, and the kind of energy you receive is the kind of energy that you should be, right? And essentially that kind of energy of just being authentic, being honest, being really picky with who you work with, it got me to where I want to be, because you're essentially supposed to attract who you are. So that is something that I really, really learned. That was like a really huge mindset shift for me. And just being able to not be attached to money was a really big lesson, just because, you know, you can make $16,000 in 1 month and it can go away the next month. Like who knows, mm-hmm. right? Like, so You just have to be honestly just like aligned to you, and just make sure you're being authentic, and everything that comes to you and is meant for you will come easy. And I really believe that. And so ever since then, every month has been really good. Like every month has not been a $16,000 month, but it has been an $8,000 month, a $7,000 month,
right.
A $6,000 month, which is honestly twice, three times as much as I was making my corporate job, which was $3,000 a month, you know? And I really think that people can do the same thing. Like I'm not special. It's just, you really have to build like a system, you know? Like that was
yeah.
the thing, is like you build a system, and then you just have to be super strict and super transparent with who you want to serve, because you can't serve everyone. So yeah, that fear, all of it is in your head. All of it. You really yeah. have to start like living with love and purpose, and not necessarily the money and the figures, because all of that will come later. I know it kind of sounds cheesy, but
no, it's true. It really is.
True, right? And I think that you have your experience doing that too, because what? You have all these projects going on. So I know you probably can test to that.
I definitely can. And it's, again, as we mentioned kind of previously before we kind of started recording here, kind of doing our green room chat, so to speak, you know, hopefully yeah. I can get to that level where it's in studio in a post-COVID world and have a little green room. Anyways, Aaron likes to dream. So, you know, manifest that into the world, right?
Love
so,
it. Yes.
No, but yeah, I can totally attest to that, because, you know, even though there's obviously a lot of going on, and it's not even just personal projects, but obviously a lot of going on in the world, but my focus for me, and something that, again, that I've been focusing in the new year is my happiness, right? And again, even prior to, I think, 2021, in 2020, obviously it was a very difficult year for everyone. And for me personally, it was a very difficult year for my mental health, and being able to struggle a lot with identity, imposter syndrome, and figuring out exactly what I wanted to do in the world. Mm-hmm. And for me, kind of going into the new year, it was a focus of wanting to ensure that I put, as kind of as selfish, quote unquote, as it sounds, putting myself first and being able to provide myself with the happiness that I want. And with that, at least in my opinion, from what the results that I've only seen, you know, within a little less than a month of kind of focusing on this mindset, is the success will follow. And I've really implemented that in my life these last couple of weeks, and the ability that I've had in terms of really focusing on my happiness, and I've seen the results. Like I really have. And it doesn't have to be crazy big results. Everyone obviously got a measure of success in their own way. But for me personally, the way that I saw those results is I am more productive. I have more energy without the need of caffeine.
Amazing.
I feel like I'm doing a lot more now in terms of work. I'm happy to spend my, you know, hour and a half recording these podcasts and then spending another whatever long editing the podcast and doing all of this stuff. And it just feels like I'm creating a system, but I'm really enjoying all of it. And again, it boils down to the systems that we had mentioned earlier, which again, huge recommendation if you haven't read it already. Tim Ferriss, 4-Hour Workweek, great book. And just being able to do that. And at the end of the day, I feel a lot more energized and again, more positive, and have a more happy outlook on life than I had in the last couple of months. And it's just an overall kind of snowball effect. So spirituality, mindset shifts, all these things that, if I'm being fully transparent, I thought was, you know, not necessarily a thing of life, or not necessarily a thing of life, but something that I should focus on or implement into my day to day.
Totally. But yeah, me too.
After switching into that focus, I'm just like, wow, like this is the real shit. Like it matters.
Real, right?
It matters. Yeah. It's not just like this kind of, you know, I hate to say it, but kind of like just like this kind of like fake thing that like, oh yeah, like think happy and stuff like that, or journal. Like I'm prior to that, again, I thought it was all just, it was just like, okay, for some people it works, but for me it's not never going to work, because that's not who I am. But I think the importance, obviously, of having an open mind and trying it out, right? If you try it out, it doesn't work for you, you don't see results, or you don't really see a way or a shift or a change, then, you know, that's all right. It's not the end of the world, right? At the end of the day,
yes,
you do you, as the saying goes. But being able to just implement that has been great. And I'm here for it.
That's incredible.
If you haven't already tried it, like read, develop your skill sets. Doesn't it just necessarily have to be through courses, but just chatting with people, audiobooks, physical books, if you're into that, journaling exactly where you want to be in a year, in 6 months, in 5 years, in 10 years. And it's all these different skills and things that, again, once you kind of figure out, it really kind of, I think, creates a shift in the way that you approach it, and will lead to more of your happiness, which in my opinion leads to some of that success.
I agree. So much abundance. There's this one quote from Super Attractor by Gabrielle Bernstein, and she says that happiness and joy are a birthright. And that is what you should prioritize every single day, because happiness is a choice. Joy is a choice. And a lot of people feel guilty for not being happy, because a lot of people aren't happy. And sometimes
for sure,
it seems normal, you know, and sometimes being happy can kind of seem, what's it called? It's kind
like
of
rare.
Intimidating. Yeah.
Yeah. You're happy. Like, wait, yeah, something's like, gotta be, something's
yes,
wrong.
Yes. 100%. And you know what? This is crazy, because happiness and joy being a birthright has so much to do with our energy and the kind of energy that we are, and the kind of energy we want to attract. So being happy should be a priority. And that's so incredible that you've gotten to that point, because you know what? When you're sad, you can be sad. Like,
Marvin's room. All of it.
I was just about to say, yeah, totally. Like, you're in your room.
Put all the songs. Yeah. Google Home, play my playlist. Just give it to me. Sad boy hours. Yeah.
You're having some like life crises from things that happened 6 years ago. Like,
exactly.
So in your head. And it's just so, it's sometimes it's so hard to get out of it. But like, when you do, it's like, whoa. Mm-hmm. Wow. Like, this is my life. Like, we get to wake up and really just be human and be alive. And like, we're in, you know, you and I's case, like, we get to graduate, like, we went to school, like, how incredible is that in a first world country?
Yeah,
you know, like, we're in
grateful,
Canada, we're not in the States, like, we're doing good, right? Like, we get those CRB checks, you know, like, we're doing good. And just the little things that being grateful for, it all leads to being happy. And then that leads to career success. And that leads to abundance mindset, because you know that anything is possible. And I think that a lot of that has to do with so your spirit and your health and your mental health and just taking care of yourself, honestly. Because after, during COVID, I actually got into this terrible accident. Like literally I was at the dog park. Yeah, with my dog. And essentially my dog is 70 pounds. So she's not like a big dog, but she's a medium dog. And we were at the dog park and these two giant dogs, they came running across the park just to say hi to her, but they actually rolled over her. And then she rolled, and then the three dogs rolled right into my knee. So
my gosh,
knee popped. Yeah, because that was like, yeah, like 200 pounds of weight, like on my essentially. And I couldn't walk or do anything, like my very last semester in school. And then that's when COVID happened. So it was like, I was already home anyways. I couldn't walk, couldn't drive, couldn't do any of that. And then when I just like being out of it, like being able to walk again, you know, just like the little things, like being able to go to the bathroom, you know, showering properly. I was like, holy, like I'm never going to take walking for granted ever again. Like just little things like that, really.
Yeah. No, that's super important. I think, yeah, there's a lot of great books out there. There's a lot of great tools, assets. And I think it really just, if you set the foundation for yourself first, because, you know, everyone wants to obviously to some extent, you know, again, be successful, and that's subjective, but I think we need to really work from within. And then from there, that kind of almost will immediately push out to the people that you're surrounded with, and will kind of, it's like almost like an aura almost. Right. And being able to feed off of that. So I'm all for it. It really has been a wonderful experience so far, and it's really helped me kind of again change the perspective and be able to help me get out of a rut, right? Because you know I'm not ashamed of saying that, right? I was in a rut. Mm-hmm. I was in a bad place mentally, and you know everyone struggles with that, I think, to some extent, some more than others, obviously. But everyone has their story to share. So one of the main reasons why I obviously do this podcast, right? Because everyone offers different perspectives and different opinions on what we would consider like basic things in life, or kind of just like almost not necessarily common sense, but things that we obviously hear about on a daily basis, right? So on working, on the financial market, on spirituality, all these things and different topics, and everyone has, you know, is adding almost to the cookie jar, right? Everyone's adding a cookie or bits of knowledge to it. So that's one of the things that I love about chatting about on this podcast, right? Just being able to hear from different people. But I did want to obviously ask the kind of the final question here, as I do on every episode. And I guess in your case, it's going to be the second time that I ask you this, but your answer might be a little bit different. What piece of advice would you give to your younger self? That can be, you know, a year ago, 5 years ago, 10 years ago. What would it be and why?
Oh, wow. I would definitely say to save my money, because your money can save you. You just have no idea when it will happen. And I think a lot of my financial education honestly didn't start until 2019, right? And it's really crazy because in 2017, when the new Tesla car came out, I was like, bro, that's going to be my car.
Yes. I won't spoil it, but yeah, for those who don't know, I won't spoil it.
Thank you. The Model 3 came out in 2017. I was second year university. So I was like, bro, like, that's going to be my car. And when Tesla came out a long, long time ago, like 2012, 2013, I vowed, I swore I would drive one of those cars one day. So I just got so mixed in with the culture. Like, and essentially, you know, it's kind of crazy because like since 2019, I haven't spent a dime. Like it was the very first time I really, really got serious about like my financial education, my financial literacy, and just understanding taxes and understanding savings accounts and like what you can really, really do to just build your wealth at such a young age. And essentially what I really wish I knew was to be able to do that when I turned 19, you know? And what ended up happening because I am 23 now, but I really just took it seriously when I was 21. So because I didn't spend any of that money towards December of 2020, wow, that was like a month ago. That's actually crazy. In December, a lot of the car retailers, they end up lowering their prices because they want to push their brand new cars. And I noticed that Tesla specifically, the cars would go down by $200 every single day in December. And I was like, wow, this is really fascinating. Like, how, let's see how far the prices will go down before it drops.
Let's play a little game of prices, right?
Yeah, exactly. It was like, wow, this is really dope. And my parents actually drive a Kia Niro, so they have an electric car. And when I was talking to them, like, they told me that if you buy a brand new electric car, there are so many government incentives.
Oh yeah, so many rebates.
With an EV. Yeah, so I was really fascinated. I was like, hey, I literally have not spent a penny this year, and I'm really thinking of really investing into my dream car. And I want to know like how that's going to work, because I know a car is a depreciating asset, right? So I was doing research, right? And I was like, yo, universe, like, if this is meant for me right now, give me a sign. So I was looking up EV rebates and just the benefits of having an EV under your business, under your incorporation. And you know what's fucking crazy? Like, I learned that if you register an EV under your business, it's 100% tax deductible. Ooh. I was like, this is my sign right here. This is it. And I literally bought my Tesla that day because that was the sign. Like, that was it. So I bought my Model 3 in December because I was like, you know what? Like, bro, I didn't spend any money this year.
Yeah,
I've always wanted this car. Like, I worked super hard for it. And so that's what I did. And honestly, if I knew that at 19, like right at when you were just, you know, when you were just allowed to start investing at 19, I would. Mm-hmm. I just really, really wish that I knew that, because I just can't imagine how much, like, you can build your wealth even 1 year, 2 years down the road. And I'm actually doing that with my brother right now. Like, he's 18, but I'm teaching him how to invest and, like, really, really gearing him up when he turns 19 in April, because I want him to start, like, right now. There's just so much I could have learned, you know? And that's definitely what I would have told myself.
No, I like that. I love it. And yeah, I think, you know, these are things that, unfortunately, you know, you don't really learn in school, right? And but these are things and what I would consider very important skill sets that you more or less need in your life, right? And being able to understand, you know, how to again make your money work for you, how to grow your money, because a lot of the times, you know, people just spend it, or they leave it in like their checking or their savings on that 0.01 interest or whatever, really bare minimum. And it doesn't even cover like inflation sometimes. So I wish I learned the same as well, like at that young age of 19, 18, you know, around that kind of ballpark. But I think one key takeaway as well, it's like, it's never too late, right? And it's never too late to start. And I think as well, like, without kind of diving too deep into it, a common misconception is that you need like hundreds of thousands of dollars to start investing. But in reality, like, you can, you know, take what you can afford, obviously, and put it into certain things. And at the end of the day, you're going to see that grow, you know, long-term, 5, 10, 15 years. And if you're in your 20s, like, you're way ahead. Like, you've got a long path ahead of you. You can take the risks. You can do all that. But obviously, at the end of the day, you want to make sure that you're setting up for your success. And also, you know, if you do decide to have a family down the road, you're thinking about, you know, potential children as well. Once you're ready for that. So thank you so much, Isabel. I really do appreciate it. And I always know that having you on the podcast is going to be a great time. And again, we could chat for hours and hours and hours, especially
I agree.
Not catching up for such a long time. And for the sake of the episode length, we want to keep it short and sweet. You know, attention span is, you know, not always the greatest. So I think in general, there were some very, very key points in this episode, and just the importance, again, I think, of learning, right? And being able to educate yourself in certain topics that, you know, you may or may not be aware of. And that's totally okay, right? Everyone starts from scratch. Everyone starts from point zero, right? From square one. So A lot of books were mentioned. So it was obviously Rich Dad, Poor Dad, huge personal finance book, big mm-hmm. recommendation both on Isabel and I, our part. I would highly recommend it. I'm currently reading it right now and it's great. It really is. And mm-hmm. It just really helps you understand how how money works really and everything like that. So there's that. There was a guru one as well. I forgot what was the name of it.
You Are the Guru by Gabrielle Bernstein.
And I think there was one more, if I'm not mistaken, right? Besides the Tim Ferriss 4-Hour Work Week. Was there another book that you had mentioned?
Super Attractor by Gabrielle Bernstein.
Right. So I'll put all those books in there and in the description, in the podcast description. And I don't have an Audible sponsorship just yet, so there's no code or anything. But obviously, I'm pretty sure all those books are on Audible.
One day.
But thank you again. I really appreciate it. You taking your time. Once again, it was a blast and really just a huge kudos and a huge congratulations to everything you've accomplished so far. And honestly, the last couple of months, from graduating to hitting good record numbers for your business and getting your dream car. I really wish you the best in the new year and I'm sure you'll do wonderful things. So where can people find you if they want to chat about, obviously you do a lot of stuff, but you're also into fashion and all the different things. So where can they find you if they want to chat or hear a little bit more about what you do?
Thank you so much, Aaron. I really, really appreciate that. And they can find me at Instagram. So it's really cool because I finally got my name as my username. So.
Yay!
The spam account of it finally got deleted. So Instagram.com/Isabel. So YZOBEL. And you can also message me on LinkedIn anytime at YByron, BIRON.
So love it. So yeah, make sure to check her out. She's got a lot of great content. She also has a lot of blogs as well about, money, fashion. There's a lot of different topics that she covers.
So
she's the jack of all trades when it comes to the content. So make sure to check her out. And again, thank you so much. And thank you to all our listeners as well for tuning in. Hopefully you enjoyed this week's episode. And I'll catch you out on episode number 44 next week. So thank you again. Take care and have a good one, everyone. Bye.
Thank you. Bye.